Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. And there's more at the website, allbook-books.com. So this is both a segue from last week and a bit of a promo for a brush calligraphy class that I'm doing on January 19th at 6:30 p.m. That's a Thursday. And it's going to be on Zoom. First time I've done it on Zoom. So anybody can watch. It's for free. You can watch and learn something. Normally I do it in person so people can get some hands-on experience, but the library is under reconstruction, so I'm going to do it on Zoom. And if you happen to have a calligraphy kit, a brush calligraphy kit, you could do it along with me as I show how to grind the ink, make the ink, and do the basic brush strokes onto the paper, the rice paper. It's a very organic experience. I call it the opposite of text messaging because it takes about 5 minutes to actually make the ink before you can actually, quote unquote, write anything. So that's part of why it's workshop is called The Meditative Art of Brush Calligraphy. And during those minutes of grinding the ink in a circular fashion is the most meditative part. Relaxing physically relaxes the shoulder and the arm and helps to focus and slow down. So briefly how I got into doing the brush calligraphy is, about 30 years ago, I was doing the calligraphy with the nibs, the little metal tips, and learning the different European style, Carolingian and Italian, and I forget all the names of them, but they represent different eras, and was doing that, and my mom sent me a brush calligraphy kit. So I started to do that, and I just, with some books and some pictures of brush strokes, I would just practice. I would sort of do like 10. I still have the sheet. I use that in the class. There's like 12 basic brush strokes, and I would do 10 of those at a time, just to practice over and over until I got better and better at it. And then that kind of dovetail with meditative practice and learning about Taoist philosophy and the flow. And then that got me into studying the Chinese pictures because I had seen Alan Watts' book, Tao, the Watercourse Way, that there's actually a picture for the word Tao, the Tao that they say in the text. There is no, you can't put a word to any Tao, to the word Tao, it's beyond a word, but there is a picture to represent it, and the picture is quite enlightening. So that got me into learning about the Chinese pictures. So while I don't speak Chinese, at least I have a minimal, when the truck goes by in the highway and it's got Chinese on it, I can recognize like mountain or food or man or something very simple. But the pictures are very educational and do give a lot of guidance, and so I find them very fascinating. The picture of the Tao is basically a person with signposts or gateposts, so it reflects how every day we are looking at the signs and deciding where to go, what to do. And the Tao picture is about advancing and pausing, taking a step forward and pausing and looking, taking a step forward, pausing and looking. So it's about how to navigate, how to go on with the path every day and in your whole life. And that sense of going and pausing is very much the opposite of the Western world, which is go, 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 and wait for it, go. So I think that's part of why the fascination of much of the Asian philosophy, and also this brush calligraphy as part of that. It's a way to pause and observe and tune in rather than just go, go, go. So the segue is that last week and other weeks I have touched on the topic of extractivism. Last week was about the book Cobalt Red and the cobalt mining as one example of the extractivism that is used to feed the system. And John Trudell put it perhaps the most clarified and eloquently, that the system of domination is mining, that this extractive process is part of the systemic problems, that the mining, that while the actual minerals and gas and whatever is being mined, they are also mining our minds, M-I-N-D-S, as we become part of the system, and we, our energies get mined to keep the system going. So the gadget feeds the system, and our minds that feed the gadgets, and sort of it goes in a vicious circle that way. So that gets into land grabbing, and the land grabbing is what gets the minerals and the energies that feed the system. And so when thinking about the brush calligraphy, to segue and give the metaphorical example, is that there's a hand grab. One of the biggest differences that I've noticed in doing the calligraphy classes over the years is the difference between how people find it challenging at first, because holding the brush, it's like watercolor. It's the essence is to allow the energy to move through you, as the Chinese would say the qi, or the Japanese the ki, the energy to move through you. So one of the guidelines of the brush calligraphy is to be heart-centered and allow the energy to run out from your heart, down your arm, into your hand, into the brush, into the ink, and onto the page, so that the result, the calligraphic picture, drawing, reflects the energy, your energies, and the energies of the heart. It's not a machine-made slam dunk printing. And so this energy flow is very different from what people in the American Western world are used to. And I started to notice, I trace it to the Western grade school, where, if you remember, if you just imagine a picture of little kids when they're first learning to write, it's like a clenched fist grabbing onto the pen and jamming the point into the paper. And it's that taut pressure of the tiny hand, and it's pre-lined paper. It's all kind of like, it's like filling out a form. It's all pre-designed, and these are the letters you're gonna do, and you grab onto that pen and you jam it in there, and you kind of bang it out, and you learn how to write. So the calligraphy, brush calligraphy, is very much about loosening the hand, almost like holding chopsticks. It's very loose. It's almost like in the Taoist sense and in the Zen sense, you get out of the way and let the energy come through you. So you are just a conveyor, like the water. The water is the conveyor of the ink. So you are the conveyor of the energy of the ink, of the message, or whatever you're trying to write. So this is in stark contrast. To extend the metaphor, I think there's that sense of land grab and forcing things that is the neoliberal and consumerist and global corporate methodology, is that things are manhandled and grabbed and forced, and then from that the product or the pleasantry is squeezed out. So that's part of why I find the calligraphy relaxing and interesting in and of itself, but it also helps to reprogram the consciousness and to allow the energy to move in a different way and to take a different approach as to how one presents oneself and how one relates with the world and the elements. The calligraphy, there are five treasures. Actually, when I was reading about calligraphy years ago, and I read of the four treasures, according to the Chinese, the brush, the ink stick, the ink stone, the paper, But they didn't put, so I added water. Water, which is obviously, I've learned a lot about that from the native perspective, the sacredness of water. They natives call that the first medicine because we are born from the amniotic sac. So we first learn, our first experiences as a being are connected with the water element. So those are the five treasures, and there's organicness to them. The rice paper, often animal like horse or other animal hair for the brush. The ink is made of all kinds of stuff. It's made of soot. It's often made of soot of tung oil, coal or pine wood, and animal glue. Originally, could have included such things as egg whites, cinnabar, musk, skins of pomegranates, and pig's gall. So if you get into the history of the ink and the paper and all that, there's lots of stuff to find. And then the ink stone is where the water and the ink stick are rubbed and grind. The grinding actually creates the ink. Or you can buy the ink. You can buy India ink or whatever at the craft shop. But the process of it, the true process to meditativeness comes from actually making the ink yourself. And again, the stones are ancient, some of the most ancient beings with this earth. So there's a reverence for all the parts of it. It's not just, I am the writer. It is a holistic approach to the writing process. It's not just me and my ideas. It's all these elements and myself communing to create something, whether it's art or a picture or a message or whatever. And in that similar way that nature can speak through us too. So these things tie in with what I talk about in the creative process, how it's not just you writing. It could be, you know, the wind or the trees or the birds that are, you're becoming a messenger for them. So the whole creative process becomes much more flowing and organic when you get out of the way, as the star of the show. And here's a good example. This is from a book by Alan Watts with Al Chung Liang Huang called Tao, The Watercourse Way. The beauty of Chinese calligraphy is thus the same beauty which we recognize in moving water, in foam, spray, eddies, and waves, as well as in clouds, flames, and weavings of smoke in sunlight. The Chinese call this kind of beauty the following of Li, Li, an ideogram which referred originally to the grain in jade and wood, organic pattern or principle. So I like that reference because that's nature has an organic, the organic grain in the wood. Who's the artist? There's a plant called a coleus, which is red, often red and green and white. And it looks to me like someone was doing some serious calligraphy, some brush calligraphy. So that's a little introduction to some of what'll get covered in the presentation, and to connect it metaphorically to the idea of how do we get past the whole programming and conception of the only way to exist here with Earth is by mining and drilling and destroying. That comes from a land grab mentality rather than a hand grab mentality, rather than a flowing mentality or a flowing heart mind. The Chinese have a word that actually translates loosely as heart mind. So there's an energy flow. And there's a way to be in harmony and with the organicness of all the elements, which is respectful to the natural world, not out to abuse and mine and use it for our own pleasure at the expense of the earth and others. So that's one of the messages of this metaphorical explanation of brush calligraphy, which I present as a blending of the East and West traditions. And the link is in the email you got if you're listening, or you can ask me about that. So if you have any questions about the program, feel free to let me know. All right, thank you for listening, and be well.